And now we explore the life of one of Milwaukee's most prominent philanthropists, a daughter of the South Dakota prairie growing up in the Great Depression, Helen Daniels Bader. She lived a life of service to others, and her charitable works touched thousands of people. Have you heard of Helen Bader? What would you like to know about her life and her charitable pursuits? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Priscilla Pardini is a Milwaukee-based writer and formerly an education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal, and her new book is called An Independent Spirit, The Quiet, Generous Life of Helen Daniels Bader. Priscilla, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Well, introduce us, if you will, to Helen. How do you describe her to others?
Well, as you mentioned, people may know her name. What they may not know about Helen is that she was one of Milwaukee's preeminent philanthropists, which began with private anonymous giving in the last years of her life. And that was then formalized in the Helen Bader Foundation, which was established in 1991, 2 years after her death. And I should just add, it was a $100 million foundation. But Helen, throughout her whole life, had been so humble and unassuming that even people who knew her very well were shocked to learn that she was a wealthy woman. Having earned her fortune through the Aldrich Chemical Company that she ran for 30 years with her ex-husband, Alfred Bader.
Yeah, so a prominent businesswoman, and we're going to get more into that segment of her life in just a bit, but what type of work does the foundation focus on? Where has it put its resources in Milwaukee?
Well, in the in its early days, Helen's main interests were the causes that the foundation, her foundation supported, such as Alzheimer's disease, dementia, Jewish life and learning, at-risk children, and a $5 million grant awarded to, in 2001 to UWM's School of Social Welfare, which was subsequently renamed in her honor. More recently, the foundation, actually most recently, the foundation in 2020 distributed funds totaling $23 million, and that included $1.4 million to support a new area of giving, COVID relief.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very, very timely and important. And this would have been in the form of grants, 62 grants to Wisconsin organizations offering services such as food distribution and COVID-19 public testing.
What did she think of social work? Why did she have that calling to social work?
Well, I think it was partly her personality. Helen was a very warm, empathetic, caring person. And even though she excelled in her business life, she always, I believe, had hopes that she would find a way to improve the life of disadvantaged people. And there's an anecdote in the book in which she's driving with her sons past what was then St. Rose's Orphanage. And she said to them, looking over at the orphanage, "I'm going to work there one day." And so when she did go back to school in social work, I think it was a really good fit for her and something that she went on to excel in.
And by the way, going back to school in her 50s, so this is really a later in life endeavor.
Absolutely, absolutely, which was quite unusual at the time and quite a big risk for her. She, in many ways, and that's why we titled the book An Independent Spirit, in many ways she broke the mold. And even as a child, she was a young girl who preferred to wear blue jeans and hop on her bike rather than wear the beautiful dresses that her mother and grandmother fashioned for her and her sister. So she did break the mold in many ways, and that was certainly one of them.
She grew up in South Dakota, Aberdeen. What was her life like, you know, growing up in the Great Depression?
Yes, her life and her sister's life was largely defined by the Depression, which was also known in the Great Plains as the Dirty 30s because of all the natural disasters such as dust storms and drought and grasshoppers that plagued the region. Her father was the local, local pharmacist who ran Daniel's Drugstore for 40 years. And her mother was the first in her family to go to college. She went to Milwaukee Downer. She and her sister talked about growing up behind the soda fountain at the drugstore. So those were some of the happiest times of their lives.
We're talking with Priscilla Pardini, who's a writer and editor based in Milwaukee, author of An Independent Spirit, The Quiet, Generous Life of Helen Daniels Bader. What would you like to know about Bader Philanthropies and the work they do in Milwaukee and beyond? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up just ahead here on the Ideas Network. Now we're exploring the biography of a trailblazing Milwaukee philanthropist, Helen Bader. UW-Milwaukee's School of Social Welfare is named after her, and her legacy is significant, especially in the value of social work. How do you remember Helen Bader? What do you want to know about her charitable works? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Priscilla Pardini is author of An Independent Spirit, The Quiet, Generous Life of Helen Daniels Bader, and she stays with us. Priscilla, Helen and her husband, Alfred, they started a chemical company in the 50s. How was Helen involved in the business?
Well, I found it very interesting that Helen, despite having majored in botany at Milwaukee Downer College and being quite shy, stepped out of her comfort zone to go to work at Aldrich, which her husband, the brilliant chemist Alfred Bader, had established in 1950. And at Aldrich, Helen quickly becomes indispensable to the whole operation for a couple of reasons. There was her very calm efficiency. And then maybe even more important, her sincere interest in and her innate ability to relate to and empathize with all of Aldrich's employees. She got to know them very well. They loved her. And those relationships, I think, well, everyone acknowledges, went a long way to ensure the success of the company. Her husband, Alfred, clearly brilliant. He was not only a brilliant chemist, but a leader in the Milwaukee's Jewish community and a world-famous collector of old master paintings, actually did not have the kind of personality that would endear himself to his employees. And so it was, it kind of fell to Helen to manage that whole side of the business.
The kind of that human side and human resources. And she believed in a diverse workforce long before equity was a goal for companies. What was hiring like there?
Well, actually that was true of both of them. Helen and Alfred both believed in giving opportunities to all kinds of people. And as her son David likes to say, it didn't matter who you were or where you came from, as long as you could do the job, that's all that was important.
Hmm. How did she learn the export business, and how was she regarded at the port in doing business?
I think she learned it just by doing. Hmm. She had grown up behind the soda fountain in her father's drugstore, and she and her sister both worked there, most of their lives, their young lives. And so I think she just intuitively picked up a lot of the traits and the skills that are needed to run an operation. And again, she was so highly regarded by everyone. I remember her husband would often be impatient when a shipment of chemicals was due and wasn't in yet. She would calm him down and knew exactly, what to say and assure him that the chemicals were on their way and they would be there soon. So there was a lot of that kind of thing going on.
And you tell the story of Joan Prince. How did Joan Prince and her interactions with Helen affect her career path?
Well, many people may know Joan Prince, who just retired after 20 years as the vice chancellor at UWM. But when she was 15 years old, Joan, a high school student who was interested in science, lived on the north side of Milwaukee, where Aldrich was located, happened upon the building, and met Helen, who arranged for her to shadow one of the company's chemists. And as Joan tells the story, that interaction with Helen had a profound impact on her life. She went on to work for 20 years as a hematologist, then earned a PhD in urban education at UWM. And then, as I said, went on to work as a vice chancellor. She told me that even to this day, she tries to emulate Helen, having learned that you never realize the effect that you can have on someone's future.
Mm. Helen converted to Judaism before marrying Alfred, who is from Austria, a Jewish refugee. How did the couple use their wealth to invest in Milwaukee's Jewish community?
Well, from all of his life in Milwaukee, Alfred taught Jewish religion.
Okay.
And Helen was very active and very devout, a member of her religious faith as well. And then today, the foundation continues to support Jewish causes, which was something that obviously was very important to them.
We're talking with Priscilla Pardini. Her new biography is about the life and legacy of Milwaukee's Helen Daniels Bader. What do you want to know about the mission of Bader Philanthropies? What comes to mind when you think about Helen Bader's work? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead. News update is next on the Ideas Network. Now we're talking about the Milwaukee philanthropist whose influence continues to transform her city. It is the biography of Helen Daniels Bader. She's a businesswoman turned licensed social worker late in life. The Helen Bader Foundation was established in 1991, 2 years after her death, and it's committed more than $375 million in grants and programs that advance its charitable mission. Has your organization received funding through Bader Philanthropies? Do you live in the Harambe neighborhood of Milwaukee? How do you view the charity? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. The book is called An Independent Spirit, and author Priscilla Pardini stays with us. Priscilla, in 1980, Helen and Alfred divorce, and once again, Helen is kind of breaking the mold here. What did she do after the divorce, and why was that notable?
Well, I think what struck me about that is her strength and resiliency. She and Alfred had been married for nearly 30 years, and in the 70s, he connected with Isabel Overton, a woman he had fallen in love with 25 years earlier, but who had refused to marry him because she was a devout Protestant and doubted that she could raise their children in the Jewish faith. And even though their marriage, Helen and Alfred's marriage, had been happy and fulfilling in many ways, Alfred had been carrying a torch for Isabel all those years. And when they reconnected, that was kind of the last straw for Helen. And she decided she needed to change her life, which was when she went back to school. Again, breaking the mold. And she went on to thrive, as those who knew her thought she would, and carried no resentment in her post-divorce years, and went on, as you said, to make this new life for herself as a social worker.
And she really reinforced that value in her sons as well, not to hold resentment. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. And they've become close to Isabel, who Alfred married. And yes, they I think feel very grateful to their mother for that fact.
So in her graduate work and in the Jewish Home and Elder Care Facility, Helen is working with Alzheimer's patients, dementia patients. What was care for these patients like in the early 80s?
Well, the early 80s was the time period when Alzheimer's was just beginning to be recognized as the leading cause of dementia in senior citizens. And Helen and her friend Nita Corray, who was at the time the director of the Milwaukee Jewish Home, felt strongly about providing seniors with a high quality of care. At the time, in many nursing homes and similar facilities, elderly residents who were not physically ill were pretty much sat in wheelchairs all day that lined the halls. Mm-hmm. And both Nita and Helen felt that this was just absolutely unacceptable. And after she received her MSW degree, Helen went to work at the home, and with Nita began kind of revamping the program. Helen immediately began to educate herself and the staff about Alzheimer's, and really just using her own, what she had learned and her own intuition, went to work putting in place some practices that today are considered very helpful in terms of managing and working with Alzheimer's patients. So again, ahead of her time, her grants included establishing an Institute on Aging and Environment at UWM, for example, which supported work on improving housing options for the elderly, and went on to create what is now the Helen Bader Center at the Milwaukee Jewish Home Ovation. Again, you know, really woke people up to the fact that big changes had to be made in the way that Alzheimer's patients were served.
I have to say, Priscilla, I laughed out loud at the anecdote of Corray convincing Helen to move into her apartment building so they can work harder. They can be more collaborative about their work in the Jewish home. It just sounded so productive.
Helen was just so devoted to the cause, devoted. And she used every opportunity she could to help put forth and spur more changes.
Well, let's talk about the Legal Aid Society in the early 80s. You are able to show how her, you know, as a social worker, how did Helen advocate for people with mental illness?
Well, she worked at Legal Aid as one of her field experiences when she was in graduate school, and they loved her there. She was, of course, much older than most of the students that they got who did practicums or field experiences. And she worked at helping to locate people with mental health problems in the least restrictive environment possible. And again, she just exhibited such warmth and empathy for the clients that she worked with. They came to love her. She was very effective. And again, I think you see here the traits that perhaps she inherited from her father, who again was very compassionate and beloved, and constantly looked for ways to improve the quality of life for underserved and marginalized people.
As we talked earlier, the UW-Milwaukee School of Social Welfare is named after Helen. How is her work and her legacy, how is it present for current social work students?
Well, in many, many ways, the grant to the school supports the Helen Bader Chair in Gerontology. And so many of the courses, a whole slate of courses now are offered. Certificates in aging are being offered. I should also just mention that in addition to publishing an Independent Spirit, Bader Philanthropies is also publishing, in the coming weeks actually, a companion volume, Never More Relevant, the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare, 1965 to 2020, which I co-authored with Carolyn Boussier. And it covers the history of the school at UW, and again, talks about the ways in which the social work and criminal justice programs have evolved over the years.
I found it interesting, Priscilla, that her charity had, you know, the timeline of it, had supposed to disperse all of its funds by 2019, but that didn't happen. Can you explain how her charity continues today?
Sure. Many foundations do include what are called sunset provisions. In other words, we're going to operate for 20 years and then go out of business. But happily, that was the plan for the Helen Bader Foundation. It was to go out of business in 2020. But happily, in 2015, Alfred Bader and Isabel, who was his wife at the time, infused into the foundation many millions of dollars, which ensure that the foundation now Bader Philanthropies will continue on into the future, which is wonderful. And in 2018, in a move that kind of commemorates Helen's passion for those living in poverty in Milwaukee, Bader Philanthropies relocated mm-hmm. to a renovated historic building on the city's north side, which is where Aldrich Chemical roughly had been located.
Yeah, I mean, what is the significance of locating it in the Harambe neighborhood?
Well, I think it gives the organization many opportunities to interact with the public. They hold a lot of, somewhat curtailed because of COVID over the last year, but they do hold programs and for people in the neighborhood. They bring people together with experts in the field in many different areas. So it's just a way, I think, of being closer to the people they serve and connecting in a more personal way than they could otherwise.
One other thing, and this is a side note, the beginning of your book, you profiles two generations of Helen's ancestors in South Dakota, and newspapers are your primary source of material. Can you share what that was like? Share some examples of details you were able to draw out of newspapers.
Oh, that was such a wonderful surprise to me. Of course, my goal was to tell Helen's story in the context of the times and places that she lived. And I should say she was very proud of her ancestry, which included pioneers who settled the Dakota Territory. And going back to the 1880s, I found there were many, many newspapers published in Aberdeen, the daily newspapers published in Aberdeen at the time, and all of those have been archived. And as you said, the details are just amazing. You could, I learned, anybody picking up one of these newspapers would learn when their neighbor's child had the measles or the mumps, or an accident with a water pistol, or when someone drove into a tree. I mean, it was pretty. it was delightful for me because it helped me, I think, describe the era in which Helen and her ancestors grew up. But pretty intrusive in some ways. I do feel sorry though for people who. We'll be writing about perhaps you 40 years from now. We won't be able to find that kind of detail.
Before we have to let you go, how have philanthropists like Helen affected the history and affected the well-being of Milwaukee?
Oh, I think, you know, in many ways we probably don't even realize just from supporting the arts, for instance, to in Helen's case, urban and Jewish education. She has an education fund at the Milwaukee Jewish Federation that made more than $675,000 available to students at Jewish schools. I think the lives of hundreds of thousands of people have probably been affected mm-hmm. by not only Bader, but other local philanthropies. And something for which we should be very grateful. I think, the fact that Helen ended up going to college in Milwaukee and staying in Milwaukee is just so significant and something we should all be very grateful for.
Priscilla, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. It was lovely to be here.
Priscilla Pardini is a writer and editor in Milwaukee, formerly reported on education for the Milwaukee Journal. She's the author of An Independent Spirit, The Quiet, Generous Life of Helen Daniels. She's also co-author of the forthcoming book, Never More Relevant, The Helen Bader School of Social Welfare, 1965 to 2020. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.